Today is a very important day. If you're a Christian, very important. And we're going to discuss that. Y'all go ahead if you want to turn to Matthew 28, 5 through 6. That's going to be our key verse. And then we're going to spin off of that. He has risen, the evidence that changes everything. What we're going to discuss. Those of you like titles. The evidence that changed everything. Chapter 28, verse 5 says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" Dear Heavenly Father, let's take these few minutes together today. Just open our minds, our hearts to what you have us receive, Lord. And just thank you for giving your son to die on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, just like Scripture says, I'll put it in our terms. Oh, curse. He ain't here. He done risen up and got out of there, okay? So he's not here. And we're going to talk about, do you really believe that? Do you really, to your core, you call yourself a Christian? And we had a good discussion, a heated, in a good way, discussion yesterday with a group of men. And so are you playing a lip service? Are you going through the motions? Or do you truly believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and I, conquered death and sin by coming out of the grave? Let me tell you better. That's the whole core of Christianity, the whole nuts and bolts of the whole deal. However you want to phrase it, you can't overstate it. Easter is just not a holiday. It's the cornerstone of our faith. Amen. You builders in here, contractors, people that build stuff, you know what a cornerstone is? Yeah. The basis, foundation, however you want to call it. If it wasn't for the resurrection, it wouldn't be a point for us to even be here today. Amen. Talking about it. Without the resurrection, Christianity has no power. But because he lives, everything changes. Everything changes. So we're going to break down a little bit of the evidence of the resurrection. Just not because I told you so or other people told you. Scripture tells us, and there's some good stuff in there that lets you know the evidence of it. Even though it was 2,000 plus years ago, long time ago, we weren't eyewitnesses, but we carry on the eyewitnesses of it through our faith and our commitment to Christ. And we're going to discuss why it still matters today. It's just as important when it happened today than it did when I mixed that up, but it's just as important today as it was when he came out of the ground, out of the tomb, excuse me. And that gives us, the empty tomb gives us hope what God has done. Amen. You know, and we discussed this morning in the sunrise service, you know, there's two definitions of hope. You know, you got stuff, I hope I can pay my bills this month, or I hope I can do this, or whatever. I hope this happens. You know, this is a hope that Jesus provided for a resurrection, a hope that's guaranteed, a hope that will happen or is happening. On the first Easter morning, we talked about way back yonder, sorrow turned into surprise. Not only for the ones that were missing him and lost him, but for the ones that didn't believe in him. A lot of them If they didn't then, they at some point, they say, uh-oh. He was who he said he was. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us see in. Amen. You know, we talked, and you heard before, he didn't have to do any of this. He could have stopped the crucifixion on the cross anytime he wanted to. But because of that love he has for us, he didn't. He let it happen. He died on the cross for you and I. And he come out of that grave. And guess what? The tomb is still empty today.
Amen. Amen.
Still empty. No, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of this. No other religious leader conquered death. They're still in the grave. Still in the ground. In the tomb where they got buried at.
Amen.
But our Lord and Savior is not there. What looks like a dead end in your life, God can turn into a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make the correlation of the resurrection, not just, and it don't make it lightly. It is important that he did come out of the grave for our sin and stuff, but we can correlate it to our everyday living. How does it apply to us? That's what I'm trying to say. Whenever you hit rock bottom, whenever you get in a situation you think there's no end to, just like they thought when Jesus died on the cross, it was done.
Oh, yeah.
They thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. They thought he wouldn't come back. But God can turn your situation into a new beginning.
Yeah.
And the most important one of those is your relationship with him.
Amen.
It starts there. Make that choice to choose Christ and build that relationship with him. Then that new life begins, that new beginning. And then all the other stuff kind of falls into place.
Amen.
Was it Matthew tells us, seek first his kingdom and all the other stuff will come too? We talk about hope a little bit. The living Christ, which is, we have hope through a relationship. Jesus didn't just rise, he revealed himself personally. And we talked this morning, those of you who are here, those of you who weren't here, you're fixing to hear it again, or fixing to hear it for the first time. He revealed himself. He just didn't conquer death and move on. He made it possible for you to make that decision, that you make that choice to follow him or not.
Amen.
Okay? He's not going to force you to. Remember, we talk a lot. What kind of relationship will you have with somebody if you make them be your friend or make them be your companion? It's not. He wants that genuine love relationship.
Amen.
That he provided a way to happen, but you just got to take hold of it and make that choice.
Amen.
And accept it. Jesus appeared to many people after his resurrection. Talking about the evidence. So we know what it is, who he is. The women first, they ran to the grave. We talked this morning how significant that really is. Where's Charlie? Just Charlie. And Charlie brought a good point up afterwards. Just think about this. Back then, in the culture back then, women were just, I don't know how to say it no better, they were worthless as far as testimony and what they stood for. They were just a piece of property, basically. So the writers, they wouldn't write about something that that wasn't true if they weren't willing to die for it. That's what we're trying to say. And Charlie brought up a good point. And so just think about the women rushing up to his tomb. The guards were there. There was no threat to them. If a bunch of men ran up there, they probably got in attention and got ready to defend the tomb, thinking they're fixing to steal the body. But the women were no threat to them. Possibly. Just let them come up there. So, and then the women went back and did what the angel told them to do, what it says in Matthew, and go tell. Go tell. You read on further in Matthew, what we're reading in 28, go towards the end of it. There's a tale for you too. T-E-L-L. Amen. Tale. And that's for you and I, Christians, to go tell it. Amen. You know that old, what's that old song? Go tell it on a mountain. Yeah. A mountain, a flat ground, on top of a tree, whatever. You just go tell it. Just go tell it. Amen. Hey, and start with your relationship with Him, your testimony. And that's a genuine testimony. Amen. I can tell you about other people that done some stuff through Christianity. But what hits home better than your personal story, your personal relationship, what God did for you, or what God got you out of? Amen. That's what we need to focus on. Then He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12 disciples. He appeared to 500 people. And this is all in Scripture. I'm not quoting all the Scripture to you. It's there. You don't trust me, just come ask me later. I'll show you where it's at. Or if I do tell you, y'all be here till 1 o'clock. You might be there till 1 o'clock anyway. But yeah, y'all ready? Get, y'all squirm a little bit. Get comfortable in your seat.
There you go. Come on.
You know, just and you know, He appeared to James. You know what's interesting about that? Who's James?
Brother.
His brother. So just think about that a minute. At this point, I don't believe James was a true believer in who Jesus really was. It took him a little bit. So it didn't say that Jesus went to his brother, said, hey, I'm back alive again. He appeared to his brother. There's a little difference there. Just think about it just a minute. He had to show his own brother that he did what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
And he did it.
Amen.
The resurrection is not a myth. It was seen and confirmed by many witnesses. Mary, one of the first ones at the tomb, thought he was the gardener until he called her name. Who do you think Jesus is? What is Jesus to you until he calls your name? Thought about that? A lot of people know about Jesus and who Jesus is. Or they think they do. Until you come to that crossroad, or however you want to put it, that point in your life where it's time to make a decision. What's that old saying? This is my good English. Y'all ready for my English class real quick? You either is or you ain't.
Amen.
It ain't no in between.
Ain't
no in between. So it is or you ain't going to follow Christ or you're not. Simple as that. Simple as that. The risen Jesus is personal and present. You know what he did when he left? When he ascended back to heaven 40 days later? You remember what he did? What he left behind for you and I? The Holy Spirit, that's why we can say with confidence that He is alive and present.
Amen.
He's still here.
Amen.
He's still with us in here. Jesus still calls. Let me back up. Christianity is not a religion. I want you to get that. I quote him all the time, but Brother Glenn, I don't care what religion you call yourself or what name tag you got on. It's going to fly off going up or it's going to burn off going down.
Amen.
It's about that relationship with your living Savior. That's what it's really about.
Come on.
The relationship. You know, I joke a time, you know, I was raised in a Baptist church. So I was John A. Baptist. Not John the Baptist. I don't want to take that credit. I'm John A. Baptist, or was. But jokingly, that's jokingly. Serious side of it, I don't care what you are.
Amen.
I want to know what your relationship with Christ is.
Amen.
That's what I like to see. Jesus still calls people by name today. He wants a relationship with you.
Amen.
You ever done anything and you knew it wasn't quite right? And you've got that little feeling inside? You know what that is? That's Jesus trying to get a hold of you.
Oh, yeah.
Getting your attention.
Amen.
Hey boy, hey girl. It's time to get right.
Amen.
You need to do something.
Or get left.
Or get left. Or get left. And we talked this morning, I keep referencing to that because that's fresh on my mind. The disciples went from fear to boldness. They made a transformation out of this world, literally. It spread the gospel. It got the explosion of the church age. And that's what we're living in now, the church age, which passed it on. Just think about a family. Generation to generation to generation, you pass on stuff. That's what, same thing here. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. What's a disciple? It's a person that spreads the good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
The disciples. And just like, I want you to think about, relate this to you, your relationship with Christ. If you had that relationship with Christ, you can relate to this. Before him, you had that, you was fearful and you was hiding from what he wanted you to do. Then after preaching publicly, willing to die. Are you there yet? I know what you're thinking. I'm not a preacher, you're the preacher. Dummy. A preaching is not in the pulpit necessarily. It is part of, it can be. Preaching, spreading the word, and getting it out there, that's preaching. That's what he's talking about. We're all called to do that.
That's right.
Every one of us. So that's why it says, are you willing to die for what you stand and believe on? The disciples were. Matter of fact, every one of them died because of it, except for John. He died of old age. Yeah, he suffered. Or you suffering for Christ. And we talked this morning. A lot of people came this morning early. We came early. That's why I'm sitting here. I'm sleepy too. What kind of sacrifice are you making for Christ? Is it time, money, or in the United States right now, we don't make, you know, like a hard sacrifice. You might get laughed at or get out of my face type of deal. But you're not persecuted yet. Yet. Yeah. Things keep going where they are. Look out.
Get ready.
But that he said it just right there. You can say, oh, yeah, I stand for Christ to the end. Will you? How do you know? You're not going to know. You got to get yourself ready.
Amen.
Prepare for it. And not just wait till it happens and then respond to it.
Amen.
Just like the disciples, no one dies for something they know is false. That's part of the evidence of it.
Yeah.
They're not going to go put themselves through all this. You know, Peter got hung upside down on the cross. That's where he died. Because he truly believed in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you? You know, and I called it, I say it a bunch of times, it's corny, but, you know, I'm a Clint Eastwood and John Wayne fan. What's your relationship with Christ when it's good? When things are good? What's your relationship with Christ when they're bad? And what's your relationship with Christ when it's ugly?
Amen.
We all go through those phases in life. Good, bad, and ugly. But what the one constant is, I tell you, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what doesn't change.
Amen.
Your situations may change. Your mood may change. Your physical health may change. All that stuff around you will change. But he doesn't. And what's your relationship with Him? How do you hang on to that? And the resurrection still changes lives today. Still active. And interesting it is to me why Jesus, God, chose you and I to be His vessel to spread His word. Now you read in Scripture, when you see the word, if it's capitalized, that's Jesus. Jesus is the word. He is the truth. Talking about changes, let me tell you just some example of a change. One of the biggest changes that's recorded in the Bible. Saul became Paul. If you don't know who Saul is or was, and how you go to Paul, read the book of Acts. He went from persecuting Christians to becoming one and being persecuted. Amen. He went from one end of the spectrum to the other. Yep. But once he got a hold of Jesus Christ, he never looked back. And he stood bold. That's what Jesus is looking for, you and I. That's what he's looking for. The same power that raised Jesus can transform us today. We talked about that. The resurrection power is still at work today. We talked about that. Fearful disciples became, I don't read all that, right? Broken people become new creations. I didn't read that. Don't wait till you clean yourself up to follow Christ. Because guess what? You'll never make it. You'll never get there. You let Jesus in your life and know that you need Jesus Christ. Let Him in. And then let Him do all the cleaning up. Let Him get the mop out. And clean you up. He's a lot better at it. Now listen to this part. No past, I'm talking about you and I, no past, I don't care who you are, is too broken. No life is too far gone. As long as you got a breath of life on this earth in you, it's not too late. Resurrection power still works. He doesn't give you a laundry list of things to do. I need you to quit this, quit that, change this, lose weight or whatever. He don't tell you that. He just says, come to me. Amen. And I think one of the important part of the evidence is the resurrection was foretold long before it even happened. Amen. So, I mean, an old scripture prophecy. Read Psalm 16:10, Isaiah 53. That's just a few. I'm just throwing it out there at you. Read those. He promised it in the Old Testament. Jesus predicted it in his own resurrection, and it happened exactly as they declared it would happen. To the T. Amen. To the T. You know what's good about Isaiah? Reading that, he described the crucifixion. There wasn't any such thing as that when he wrote that, when God inspired him to write Isaiah. They never had that, heard of that. He wrote about something that God told him to put on paper, and he did it. Didn't know what he was talking about. What's the crucifixion? But God told him to do it. He did it, and it happened, just like he told it. God always fulfills his word. Always. You might not like it. That's what we need to accept. You might not like what God has for you or does or allows to happen. You might not like it. But he sees the big picture of eternity. He knows what's... Hey, he created you. He knows what's best for you. How many of y'all whooped your kids before? I know what's best for you. He really does. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. I don't think God ever said that. Anyway, let's see. Here's, look, it's victory over death. hope for eternity.
Oh, yeah.
Easter is about victory, not survival.
Come on.
We think of red, oh, he rose from the dead. He did. But he conquered it when he did it. Death is defeated. Sin is conquered. And you better say thank God and amen to that. Because there's nothing you can do to do what he done.
Amen.
Eternal life is secured. I did I don't know if it's even here, on secured in Christ. If you truly, truly follow Christ and accept Christ and do what he tells you to do and all that good stuff, he got you. He got a hold of you. And he's going to lead you through it. Because he's alive, we don't fear death. We have eternal hope. There's that word hope again. Don't hope you're going to heaven in our sense of hope. Know you're going to heaven because it's the hope for you that he provided. That's the difference. So why does it matter? Why does resurrection even matter? We kind of covered a lot of it. It proves Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that important? Because God said he's going to provide a son for you and I. And so it proved he was real. It guarantees forgiveness of our sins. It gives hopes of eternal life. I like this little saying I found. Believe, receive. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. And live in the power of the risen Christ.
Amen.
You got to do something. I think Brother Charlie said, you're not just bench warmers, or you shouldn't be just bench warmers. I guess in this case, a pew warmer. He wants you to do something with it. He wants you to take it outside these walls. He provided it for you, and he's given it to you. Before I close, I want to say this here in a minute. Just a second. So I've been talking about what you have when you have Christ. The resurrection and all that kind of stuff. If you don't have Christ, now we're talking about a different ball game. But it's never too late. You can have Christ. Like I said earlier. Now, I put emphasis earlier with the intention of following up with it. It's a choice. If you don't make the choice, you already have. One way or the other, you're making a choice. If you don't make the choice to follow Christ, you already default to not following Christ. And I hate to tell you this. I'm being sarcastic to let you know that because really, it's the truth. There's going to be a lot, unfortunately, good people in hell. Not just the bad. You can be a good person all your life. But if you hadn't made that decision to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you won't be with him.
Amen.
So that's why it's so important. You got to make that choice. You got to believe it and receive it. Now, I want you to turn to this scripture. I usually don't do this. And Daryl will have it on the board here in a minute too. And then I'm going to read it. Usually when you put emphasis on something, that means it's important. Those of you that are not used to sitting in class. A lot of y'all probably skipped class more than y'all went to class. I know one back there because I went to school with him. When we went. All right, Romans 10, 9 and 10. A lot of y'all know that. If you want Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you got a hold of this resurrection that he did for us and conquered death, conquered sin, and you want eternal life. And this is what he tells you to do. Romans 9:10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. let it soak in a minute. That's not complicated. He didn't make it hard for you. He didn't make you clean up stuff before you do it. He just said, if you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I want y'all to stand. If that's you, you don't have to do nothing special. I know a lot of people don't. I don't. I don't like, believe it or not, I don't like standing in front of a lot of people. I don't like coming in the crowds. If you feel led to come up here, you do what Jesus tells you to do, the Holy Spirit. If you need to do this, what we just read, you do it to me, or you do it right where you're standing at. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He can talk to you where you're at. Just remember this. The tomb is empty. The Savior is alive. And the invitation is wide. I got open written down. It is wide open.
Amen.
It is wide open. Believe in the risen Christ. Receive new life. Walk in the resurrection power. And there you have it. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much again for, we can't put enough emphasis on what you did for us. The resurrection, dying on the cross, defeating death, give us eternal life, Lord. Just thank you for doing that for us. And just be with us and be with the ones that are struggling with it, Lord. And just give them the courage and strength that they need just to make that step, Lord, and just accept you. And just as they are, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.